Gracious Heavenly Father, Yehovah Rapha, Yehovah Shalom, Yehovah Shammah, Yehovah Nissi, Yehovah Yireh. Lord, we bless your holy name. The Lord who sees, the Lord who listens, the Lord who hears, the Lord who heals, the Lord who watch over all of us, the Lord who delivers us, the Lord who makes us, the Lord who forms us, the Lord who created us, and the Lord who redeemed us. Blessed be your holy name, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for your name in our lives. The holy name, the name above all names, the sweetest of all, the mighty, powerful name, the name that is a strong tower to all of us. Lord, here we are, O Lord, in thy strong tower, standing upon thy foundation, thy truth. Blessed be your holy name, Lord. May you fill all of us today with the faith, the holy faith, not any faith, the holy faith, the comforter who is comforting all of us as we go through this narrow path. Lord, there are wounds, there are pain, there are burdens in our lives. But Lord, it is well. For you have overcome all, and you have given us the victory on Calvary. Blessed be your holy name, Lord. Help us, Lord, to be comforted, to receive the comfort from the comforter, to receive the strength, to receive the peace, the calmness, the quietness, the stillness to stand firm in the word of God. Lord, may you move in the midst of us. Soak us in thy presence. Speak to our hearts. It's all about you. The name Jesus Christ, Yeshua, Yahweh is salvation. It is all about you, Lord. You are waiting for all of us to be perfected, and you are also standing at the door for judgment. Every day, O Lord, we are judged in thy word. May you bless us, speak to us as we grow day by day in thy word. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, we commit all our thoughts, we commit all our intents, we commit all our ways. May you examine us. May you examine our spirit. May you examine our heart. Speak to us, Lord. Teach us that we may live a life that brings a smile in thee, that pleases thy Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we all pray. Amen and amen. God bless you all, dear brethren. We thank the Lord for the praise and worship. I was very weak today, not well. I woke up with some pain in my throat. But yes, what do we do when the pain increases? We give high praises. Amen. If the pain can reach a state of high, our praise and worship can go higher. Singing is healing. You know, it is very true. Sometimes we cannot pray. When you are so broken, all you can do is singing. That is what the Lord says, just be filled with the heart of thanksgiving. Just sing songs. Oftentimes, we don't have to ask him anything because he knows exactly what you need. But if we can offer a praise when the ship is completely broken, the sails are torn, the storm is so louder, but if we still be able to sing a song, the Lord will be pleased, because the flesh cannot do it. Children of men cannot do it. The world cannot do it. Only those who have the true life, Jesus Christ on board, can do it. So we thank the Lord. The Lord raises the adversary to show how strong we are, how weak we are. The Lord sends sicknesses to see how steadfast we are. The Lord sends long-suffering for us to earn patience and endurance. The more we see it, the Lord can touch one of you and say, from today, you have the gift of healing. It is instant. We thank the Lord. But that gift of healing may not please God. It is for God to heal his faithful children, to heal his seeds. We may just do the work of the Lord throughout our life, and the Lord would say, I am pleased in those who are healed, but I am not pleased in the vessel I used to heal. Do you hear me? Possible. Because he is not in the storms, he is not in the earthquakes. The still small voice, he calleth from the deep. So, the gift of the Spirit, the Lord can give it to anyone he wants. But the fruit of the Spirit, the Lord would not throw. We must earn. Salvation is given. For what? Use it, have the token of the Holy Spirit, and we live a life, do his commandments day by day, he will grant us the fruit of the Spirit as we complete the milestone. How can I say I have the fruit of long-suffering if I never suffered before? Doesn't make sense. If I never suffered long, I cannot say I tasted the fruit of long-suffering. So what is the test? You were suffering, crying, broken, weary, isolated, struggling, but yet you could not forsake the Lord. But yet you could never leave His congregation. But yet you could not stay away from the Word of God. You were present in the place where He dwells. Indeed, you tasted long-suffering. It is the fruit of long-suffering. What does it mean? It is bitter in your flesh, in your mind, in your daily life. Deep inside, without even your knowledge, it is sweeter. I can eat a strawberry, so sweet, I can only enjoy the sweet up to here. Once goes in, right, even if I want, I cannot go dwell deep and to see how tasty it is. I can't. Because the Lord has given the taste but only up to here. That's all. But long-suffering, patience, endurance works the opposite. You will taste bitter, you will cry, you will grumble, you will groan, you will moan, you will complain. You will be so grumpy. But when the Lord makes you to understand, hello, my son, my daughter, no matter how much you cry, no matter how much you groan, I'm not going to give you the solution. The moment you understand, you will learn, okay, the door is not on the north side, there is no door on south, there is no door on west, there is no door on east, and there is no door upside, there is no door downside, which means I have nowhere to escape. So Lord, after 20 years, after 30 years, finally, I admit, I lost. I yield, I lost. Only your mighty hand can come from either side of me and pull me out. But until then, I'm not going to ask you when, but I just want to let you know, I'm calling you to confirm, I'm calling you to acknowledge you, I yield, I lost. All of us, my brethren, before the double-edged sword, we bow our heads, we kneel down and we fall to the ground and we say, Lord, we yield. Double-edged sword, the word of God. The four beasts, they fell to the ground in the holy presence. All 24 elders, they bowed their faces to the ground. When the true life reveals mightily, the creations will feel that we are dead. Even the apostle John, when the Lord took him to the Patmos island, when he was revealing himself to him, scripture says in chapter 1, he fell to the ground as dead. John felt, I am dead in his presence. That is how mighty the Savior we serve. Never get too familiar with the Lord. You say, brother, we are family of God. What is wrong in getting familiar with God? There is a thin line. The Lord says, you are the apple of my eye. You are my precious jewel. I love you. I carry in my bosom. He say all those. It's true. He loves his children more than we can imagine. But there is a very thin line of reverence and honor. The Lord is always watchful of that. Amen. But if you look at the way nowadays, the name of Yahweh is salvation, is simplified into Yeshua. Then Yeshua is simplified into Jesus. Then Jesus has been even simplified to J. Nowadays people have no time to type the name. They simply say J. J means Jesus Christ. And now the name of the Lord has become so familiar. They can call Him for anything. Literally anything. Anything silly. Anything absolutely vanity. Anything doesn't make sense. Even if you might have seen people who smoke, who drink, who speak vulgar words, they add the name of the Lord along with the sentence as if they decorate their house. But that is not the name of the Lord. That would never be the name of the Lord. The Lord says, I will never give my glory to anyone. Do you see His glory is in His name? The glory of the Lord is in His name, the true name, Yeshua. And that name is only given as an utterance for the children of God who receive the Spirit. So, by God's grace, we will start a new season as the Lord leads every Sunday. Until He leads, we all submit to His presence. He knows what we need. The Lord has put a burden in my heart last Thursday to start a new sermon series on garment. The title of the new season is garment. One single word. It is enough. Garment. So before we start, let's think of this thought. You may say it is already a thought. Why we should think? It's a thought, but we meditate. What is the biggest organ in your body? Skin. Correct, Hazel? Adam, am I right? Skin. So we have to get acknowledged. Because the children are going to answer something to us today, we start the sermon from them. Skin is the biggest organ in your body. So now I want you all to forget that you are a living soul. And imagine all your inner organs, your heart, your lungs, your kidney, your bones, your flesh, veins, blood flow, whatever it is. Let's say these are the treasures of someone. And the Lord do not want these things to be exposed. And the Lord do not want these things to suffer in sunlight or hot sun or rain, whatever it is. So, your body, your bones, your flesh, your blood flow, everything is sealed, covered by your skin. Correct? Your skin is nothing but a cover of your body, your flesh, like a wrap. The skin wraps around you. Yet, it has some openings. Eye, your mouth, there are openings for us to have the senses. Amen? So, the covering of your flesh has some openings for you to have senses. The five senses, whatever the Lord has allowed us to feel. Vision, sound, food. Now, that skin, the cover of your flesh, it's very similar to the garment that I have put on now, all of you. So you have a garment that covers your flesh, your inner parts of the body, which is, you are born with it, it grows with you, correct? Your skin grows with you, never forget that. Your skin grows with you. So your garment, the natural garment of what the Lord put in you, it grows as you eat, it grows as you grow, it is with you. If I try to remove the garment, you will be like a skeleton. No, you will suffer. Because without skin, you cannot face the sunlight. Correct? Without skin, you will be like a vulnerable state of being. You will die. Now, on top of that, now all of us, we are clothed with whatever the dress that we like, whatever that suits our way of life, that we feel comfortable. Correct? That is the right word. So, in other words, you have no choice to choose your skin, but you have choice to choose your garment that covers your skin, correct? Now that garment, you choose what is comfortable to you. Now there are two comfortable things here. One, comfortable to your flesh, your thought, your desire, you could dress any way you want. And two, comfortable as you are led by the comforter in the Word of God as the child of God. To put some dress that you like it, which is comfortable and not too against the scripture. That is comfortable. When you say comfortable, I cannot come to this pulpit with a bandman dress, with a huge trumpet, with a cap, you know. You will just, what happened to you? Maybe someone, this is someone else. So every place, every situation, every occasion, there is a season of time in our life, and there is a particular garment that separates what is this season. I can't put on the clothing of a funeral and walk into a wedding. They would throw me out. So, garment or clothing, I want all of us to think. What are the things that come to your heart? For instance, why do you dress? First thing, to hide. To hide the parts that you don't want to show. Because we are called to dress. And from the Garden of Eden, the shame entered in our life. And we cover our shame with the garment. Amen? But yet, our face is seen, our hands are seen, our feet is seen. For instance. So, there are things that can be seen, there are things that should not be seen. So you can say, I put on my clothes. Because I just want to put on my clothes. That is my, you know, basic life. So covering, hiding, correct? Two things comes to a heart concerning garment. And the third one is adapting, correct? When you go to an office or interview, or when you go to a wedding, or when you go to some function, you will change your garment that suits the occasion, correct? You won't want to go and disturb people. So, adapting. So, you adapt to the situation by changing your garment. Okay, good. Because I cannot use the same garment and go and live in the world's coldest place in Siberia, where the temperature is minus 20, minus 30, they go very, very low. If I say, see, I am the same wherever I go, okay? I will just, with a simple cotton shirt, with a barefoot, I will live wherever I want. If I go, I'll be frozen to death. That's it, I'm gone. I must change my garment to adapt the weather conditions around me, correct? And those who live in those minus 20, 30 degrees Celsius in snow region, in the pole, you know, the North Pole, South Pole of the world, if you take them and throw it in some desert with the same costume, they will die. They can't handle such heat. They will be, you know, dehydrated. They can't take it. At first, the skin cannot take it. It got used to some different climate. And second, the garment cannot take it. See, we have two layers, skin and garment. Now, by the grace of God, we will ask the Lord to speak to us from the scripture. How the scripture teach us, warn us, bless us concerning garment, spiritually. Amen? Because our humble desire is for all of us to go and fall at His feet and tell Him, Lord, make me perfect spiritually. Everything else will be automatically aligned, you know. When the light is there in the spirit, the soul cannot comprehend, the body cannot comprehend. It will all yield to the lamp. When we submit ourselves to become the temple of the Holy Ghost, everything bows its head. The Lord made us in soul, body and spirit. We praise the Lord. But not by might, not by power, but by spirit. So if at all, we will be called the redeemed, shall return to Mount Zion, it is impossible if we do not submit our spirit to Him. Stephen never said, Lord, take my flesh. The Lord says, I don't want this, it's broken. I can give you a new one. Stephen did not say, Lord, take back my soul. He would say, whether he say it or not, I will take it. He said, Lord, receive my spirit. I am able to overcome my free will. I am able to overcome my flesh. I was able to destroy myself. And I can see Christ in me. And for that reason, my Jesus Christ, receive my spirit. Redeemed. The Lord would not come and take you when you are sleeping on the bed. He won't come and carry you and place you on a promised land. And tells you, my son, wake up, surprise. You are in the promised land. Then we say, yes, Lord, I know. You are the Redeemer. I am redeemed. You see, that's not, it's not, it's called kidnapping. We are not hostages. Amen. He won't come and surprise us by throwing us into something that we don't deserve. God's children must deserve what they receive. Because He is worthy of all praises. The lamb that was slain, it is worthy of all. Amen. Worthy is the lamb. The word worthy means the Lord says, my children, my soldiers, my warriors, my priests, my saints, my kings, my prince, my princess. The Lord says, be like me, earn it. Do the work, then I will put the food on your table. Do the work of me in my word, and I will bring the life of Christ in you. So we are called to do the work, to do His commandments, do His work. And the Lord would say, I will come and clothe you. Amen. So all of you, we would always limit our mind. Garment means garment of salvation. We will be clothed in fine linen cloth, white robe. Blessed be the name of the Lord. It is not that easy. It's not a raincoat for us to buy and put on in the rain. It can only be given. Which means there is no stock here. He is holding all the stock. He knows the size of His fish. He knows the measure of His seeds. Length, width, breadth. He measures the holy city in Jerusalem. He will clothe us. Amen. Now, until then, as we sing the song, until then, the Lord has blessed us to see Him in His word. From the moment the very first clothing happened, the very first garment that was put on was not by God. Correct? Adam and Eve, they ran away from His presence, trying to hide behind some tree. They were thinking, I feel shame, so I believe God also would look at me and we would feel shame. They were ashamed of being seen by the Creator who made them. We may think, it's all physical. Don't lie. We do this today. We all do this today. The scripture says, no one can escape from the eyes of God that examines everything, mountains, valley, wherever I hide, Lord, you are there. Amen? He's there everywhere. So the moment the disobedience, the sin committed, and the husbandman also committed, the husband and wife, they were hiding behind the trees, they made some clothing by the leaves. Amen? They tried to put some clothing by themselves. The very first garment of humankind was made by human, so no surprise. But the Lord had blessed them to be clothed by the skin as a garment when He covered their flesh. But because of shame, that skin also became part of shame. No surprise. The major discrimination of the entire world is also based on skin. Correct? Even people have hatred for hair colors. What you call golden hair, black hair, orange hair, red hair. So they are very good. I don't know what the world will look like. If the Lord casts some sickness, monochromatic, they can only see black and white. I don't know what the world would, they would go crazy. I can't see anything. Where is my red hair? I can only see black. Where is my white hair? So the discrimination also part of the vision, but the shame of the skin also part of the body, because the body is flesh in the physical sense, but skin is also part of it. Amen? You know why? The beauty of a man, the beauty of a woman is displayed by your skin. If the same Bathsheba was taking shower and David is looking at her, but she had no skin, she would be scared. Oh, some ghost, you know. He would be scared. But that beautiful Bathsheba was beautiful because she was covered by the skin what the Lord created for her, because she's a creation. So, if a 90-year, 100-year-old man or woman, all the wrinkles on the skin, they would say, okay, you are aging. But if the same 90, 100-year-old man or woman, there is no wrinkle in the skin, the skin is fresh, the age is hidden by the skin. Wow! The skin can take away the age, because the skin decides how you look and what people may perceive of you. It has so much in our body. It has so much in our body. And that skin also generates what we need from the sunlight. Amen? Sunlight is very important for the body. We are very similar to trees, but we don't realize that. The civilization put us into aircon rooms, as if we are like test tube babies or the chicken in the farm. We are always in some room. Bus aircon, train aircon, home aircon, workplace aircon. We are actually an incubator of this technology. We spoil our own health. Don't deny. We all spoil our own. We have no choice. And we have 5G around us. Nobody asks me permission. Same for you. Nothing is happening based on your desire, because nobody cares about no one. This world is going down the drain because the government of kingdom of heaven has not yet taken its place. When the King of Kings comes, He's the only one who can make all things right, and He will show the world, hello, let me tell you who is the king. Who is the king? And who can rule the kingdom in a way it will be ruled? So, your king will come with the garment of king. He will come with the garment of judge. He will come with the garment of groom. He came as a servant with the garment of servant. He came to Calvary where He was stripped and His garments were parted across the soldiers. So many things happened to our Lord even when they mocked Him by putting the purple robe on Him. So now, let's all reflect. What is the Lord going to teach us in His scripture? So we apply this on our life. Where do I stand? Is there any old garment that is stitched with my new garment? Amen. So today, by God's grace, I'm going to ask the children to help the adults to answer some questions, simple ones. Don't worry, Adam's staring at me. So, we will start from there. Before that, I want all of us to raise to read Zechariah chapter 3. Let's show the reverence of the Lord. It's a very powerful chapter. Zechariah chapter, let's read from chapter 2 verse 10, Brother Joshua. Chapter 2 from verse 10. I will read this. Chapter 2 from verse 10. You all can join me. Sing and rejoice, O daughter of Zion, for lo, I come, and I will dwell in the midst of thee, saith the Lord. And many nations shall be joined to the Lord in that day, and shall be my people, and I will dwell in the midst of thee. And thou shalt know that the Lord of hosts that hath sent me unto thee. And the Lord shall inherit Judah, his portion in the Holy Land, and shall choose Jerusalem again. Be silent, O all flesh, before the Lord, for he is raised up out of his holy habitation. Blessed be the name of the Lord. You may be seated. Amen. Be silent, O all flesh, before the Lord, for he is raised up out of his holy habitation. When the Lord raised up out of his holy habitation, be silent, O all flesh. Every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess that he is the Lord. Amen. Now, when we say the Lord is still seated in the throne of grace and mercy, the scripture says, the husbandman waited for the precious fruit. Amen. James chapter 5. And the same husbandman, our Lord, is also spelled as the judge standeth at the door. Correct? So now, which one you are looking up to? He is the husbandman. He is the judge. James 5 covers both the names of the Lord in the same chapter. It says, husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit, for his children, for his seeds, for his flock to be redeemed. Okay. The Lord is waiting. Praise the Lord. Next verse says, the judge standeth at the door. Not will stand. Standeth at the door. Every man standeth at the door of his tent when Moses offered the sacrifices, when the Shekinah of glory descended unto the tabernacle. Every man stand at the door. Every man must stand for his faith. We are all called to stand firm in the word of the Lord. And the judge also standeth at the door. Which door? This door? Or your house door? Which door? He is standing, not will stand, not may stand, not will come and suddenly stand. The scripture says he standeth at the door. He standeth at the door. He is waiting for his seed to be redeemed. He waiteth, he standeth. Amen. He calleth, he justifieth. Amen. So now the Lord, he will come with different garments. He is so beautiful. He will not be in the same garment. He don't like it. For the situation, for the time, he will change his garments. When John saw Jesus Christ, he looked in a way with the fire, the sword, and the hair, and the seven candlesticks. It was a mighty revelation for John to see the Lord. The scripture says the garment was up to, went down up to his feet. The Lord whom he served, the King of Kings, the Judge, the Groom, the husbandman, he also blessed us to learn from the way he clothed himself. Because there are times he removed his garment to wash the feet of his disciples. Amen? And people removed his garment forcingly when they crucified him also. Now, why Aaron, the high priest, and Joshua, the priest, and our Savior, the high priest, the chief apostle, the clothing of the priest is called clothing of the service. Do you hear me? Book of Exodus, Numbers, Leviticus, it tells us clothing of service is the garment of a priest. Clothing of a service is the garment of the priest. Now I will read the verse. You please be prepared with the 8 images. Yes. Chapter 3 verse 1. Zechariah chapter 3 verse 1. I will read. chapter 3, verse 1. And he showed me Joshua, the high priest, standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan standing at his right hand to resist him. Joshua, the high priest, standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan at his right hand to resist him. And the Lord said unto Satan, the Lord rebuke thee, O Satan. Even the Lord that hath chosen Jerusalem rebuke thee. Is not this a brand plucked out of the fire? Is not this a brand plucked out of the fire? A question, a powerful question is uttered. Verse 3. Now Joshua was clothed with filthy garments and stood before the angel. Joshua stood before the angel with filthy garments. You can visualize physically whatever that comes to your mind. The Lord has given us mind to visualize, to think. He can help us to understand more. We can ask the Lord, Lord, speak to me. Imagine the priest of God standing before the Lord with the filthy garments, and at the right hand side of him, Satan is also standing resisting him. When he answered, verse 4, and he answered and spake unto those that stood before him, saying, take away the filthy garments from him. Did Joshua remove the garments by himself? Take away the filthy garments from him. And he answered and spake unto those that stood before him, saying, take away the filthy garments from him. And unto him he said, behold, I have caused thine iniquity to pass from thee, and I will clothe thee with a change of raiment. Changing garment, removing iniquities. Changing garment, cleansing iniquities. Changing garment, cast away the iniquities. Changing garment, wash thoroughly from iniquities. And it says, behold, I have caused. The moment you look at the word caused, you should always remember, I, the Lord, had spoken, I have not done anything without a cause. The purpose, the Lord had purpose in his heart as a cause and effect. He do it for a reason, and he do it with a reason, and he do it by a reason. That reason, my brethren, it is always life. If his intent was all about destruction, he could destroy all of us. We gave him millions of chances. He just decided to stay silent. He decided to hide his face from us. Not to make you to feel, oh, my father is playing hide and seek from me. Because if he sees you, we are done. The Lord bless all of us to even to find life in his silence. Even to find the lessons when he hides his face. Because his desire is for all of us to be encouraged, to be edified, to be happy, to be strong, to be peace, to be at rest, to be joyful. Which father would rejoice in the suffering of children? No one. If a worldly father can give his life for his worldly child, earthly child, what the Father in heaven will do? He has showed it on Calvary. Now the Lord says, I have caused. It means you did not do anything. I have done this, which resulted in this. Because of this, you are in a state of this. I have caused. The past, the present, and the future, I hold. Because you are mine. It's assurance, my brethren. And he says, the iniquity to pass from thee. Sister Alma likes the song 406. Pass me not. Can I sing the song when the Lord says, iniquity pass from thee, oh pass me not. Lord, let it pass. Amen. But the Lord told Moses, you go and hide yourself in the rock. I will pass. Just look at my back. Don't you dare to see my face. So the Lord passed by. Jesus passed by. And he saw the sick. And he saw them face to face. He asked them, what is that you want? And those who are sick, they said, son of David, don't pass by. Just stand. And just look at me. Speak to me. Heal me. He stood. And he spoke to them. So, iniquity, the Lord says, I have caused it to pass by. I just let it flow through you, but it does not destroy you. The plague passed through the city, all the houses, but somehow, like oil in the water, the people of Israel, they were not mixed with the water, they were separated. And the plague just passed through. Those who dwelt in the land of Goshen, as I said, land of plenty, land of goodness, where people they receive comfort, where people are drawing near, Goshen is here, right now as we speak. The place where we dwell in unity is called Goshen. The place where we are drawn near to the Lord is called Goshen. The place where there is plenty of food for us to eat, the word of God, is Goshen. The place where we are comforted by the Spirit of God is Goshen. At the same time, my brethren, there is plague both around us, but the Lord has built an umbrella on top of it. Strong tower of His name. So Goshen is covered by a big umbrella called Jesus Christ, the name of the Lord. Covers, and we are hiding here. People are called to hide in the strong tower. Amen. If you go on top of the strong tower, let me see how tall the tower is. Let me go to the rooftop and dance. Then when the brimstone fire falls, the strong tower won't be damaged. But those who are dancing around will be washed away. That's why Jesus went into the temple. He saw all the merchandise. What are you doing? We are selling and buying to make some profit. Why are you doing? Because many people come here. It's a temple, you know. It's a good business place for us to establish our corporate identity. Lord, He was so angry, He overthrew the table, He drove them away. Get out. Amen. If the Lord is so angry, even for those who are seated outside the temple, what He would do for us who are seated inside the temple? Inner chamber has its place in the temple of God. Amen. The city of David, the temple that Solomon built, there were chambers, there were gates, there were layers to it. The Lord built it for us to see in spiritual realm how He is seated in the heavenly throne. Now, verse 3 says, filthy garments are changed and new garments are given, and it is called change of raiment. And verse 5 says, and I said, let them set a fair mitre upon his head. And so they set a fair mitre upon his head and clothed him with garments. He is one single person, right? Why garments? If I tell Brother Clement, just give me, wait for me, I'm getting ready, I'll put on all my dresses, I'll come back. He would say, why? You're one person, just put on your dress, come. Singular. Singular. English, brother, English. Singular. Garment, dress. But Joshua, the high priest, is standing, but the change of raiment is mentioned, but now they've clothed him with garments. And the angel of the Lord stood by. And the angel of the Lord protested unto Joshua, saying, thus saith the Lord of hosts, if thou wilt walk in my ways, and if thou wilt keep my charge, then thou shalt also judge my house. And shalt also keep my courts, not court, courts. And I will give thee places to walk among these that stand by. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Can we say, Joshua, judgment belongs to the Lord. So you just ignore the verse. There is a translation error, Joshua. Do not judge Israel. Joshua was called, ordained, anointed by God to judge Israel. If not, Israel will die. But the judgment is what? It's here. The husbandman is your judge. Your groom is your judge. Your beloved is your judge. Your friend is your judge. Your master, teacher, prophet, king. He is your judge. Standeth at the door. Angel of the Lord also stood by near Joshua. But Joshua here, what it represents. Last Sunday, we closed with some summary. I did not go to detail because seven trumpets, seven plagues needs to be studied thoroughly from the perspective of the day of the Lord. But the wrath of God for His children always means life. But the full wrath of God is for judgment. We are here to conform to His image. So we are led by the Spirit of the Lord. What season we go through. Now, from that perspective, the word judgment, I ask you a question. Are you being judged by the double-edged sword as we speak right now? Yes. And the Lord says, today is the day you are judged. We are all judged. The Lord would not simply sleep for your whole life, and before you die, He opened His eyes and see, oh, my son is a good man. You can go into the promised land. No. It's a collective outcome of your life. We are judged every single day. That is why, if judgment is happening every day, our heart must be sensitive for repentance. That was the way we finished the series last Sunday. And that is where we start. Because the way the Lord leads us is always a continuation. There's not a U-turn. It's always going forward. The very first series, we focused on the foundation of God for all of us to refresh our mind. As our ship got hit by a storm, we just meditated on where do we stand. Our faith, the truth, the baptism, the name of the Lord. But that sermon series, we ended talking about covenant. Annulled from death and atoned to life because of the covenant. Then from there, the Lord blessed us with a new series on Ark of the Covenant. So we just focused on so many verses, the territory. And towards the closing of the Ark of the Covenant, part 19, I believe, the title was, Lord Jesus, Receive My Spirit. And the reason why I started the wrath of God, because Stephen was thrown as a food for wrath of men. He was killed. Amen? So I was meditating why the Lord allowed the wrath of men to have dominion over the children of God. So wrath of man worketh now to the righteousness of God. So why should I preach about wrath of man? Doesn't mean anything. Those people who are in this world right now, those dictators, those powerful chief captains, they think they can execute them, they can kill people, all the terrorists, all those evil people, they take life right and left, thinking that they are so powerful. They don't see one single point. The more the Lord allows you to be powerful, is the more iniquity you are eating. He is recompensing all our evil deeds back our own head. As a child of God, we want to be chastened immediately, instantly. That should be our desire. The more He delays, the more we grow in iniquity. You know? If He smites you faster, you recover faster. If not, you will be going on, you will be building your own strong tower. Then it takes time for it destroyed. It is better to fall in the hands of the Lord, not few months later, today. If you want to do something good, my brethren, do it today. The one who knows what to do good, but yet he did not do his sin. Don't even say it is weakness. If you know to do good, but if you don't, it is sin. Because you know how to do. If you want to make peace, make peace. If, as a child of God, you know what should give you peace. Let's say I have my friends, my relatives, my brothers, for example. Let's say they hate me for no reason. They don't want to talk to me. I have two choices. Listen to this carefully. You should have the reconciliation for your own peace. If I say, they would never understand me. I don't care. I'm not bothered. If they don't talk to me, I don't talk to them. I'm fine. I will just go on my life because the Lord has planned something for me. There's a thin line. You have to reconcile. You know how you do it. You should go and tell them face to face, my friend, my brother, my sister, my wife, my whatever the relationship that you are with. This is the reason you are hurt. If I am the reason, I'm sorry. This is the reason I am hurt and I'm trying to overcome this. But please know that I love you. I am in peace with you. I am waiting for you to speak with me. Until then, I will hold my peace. God bless you. But know that my hand is always touched for you. Don't misunderstand that I am the one who forsake you. Don't misunderstand that I am the one who is going away from you. I have spoken. I am available for us to restore relationship. You may think, he should know, right? No. He don't know. She don't know. The enemy will conduct an orchestra in between of your gap. He will write his own songs. He will play his own tunes. Both the flesh will dance to the tune. The more gap you give, the more adversary can dance in between you. When you speak life. Then that brother, that sister would know. My friend has spoken. It is in the hands of me. I will wait. You can pray to the Lord. When the Lord deals with you, you can go and make peace. But reconciliation It keeps your garment clean. It's not a small thing. It keeps your garment clean when the Lord sees why there is a old garment stitched on your right hand side. Lord, it is my new garment. No. I can see it is a old man's garment. You said the old man died. Then why are you carrying the old man's garment? Oh, is it? Oh, maybe I did not forgive my sister. The moment we kick in our flesh, we bring in the old man, the old garment will appear in your spiritual life. The Lord can see it. The Lord can see it. The Lord can see it. Let's read John 9. It comes to my heart. Matthew 9, before we go there again. Matthew 9. Thanks the Lord for reminding this. Matthew 9, chapter 9. Brother Clement, can you read this for me? From verse 9 to verse 17.
As Jesus passed on from there, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the tax office, and he said to him, "Follow me." So he arose and followed him. Now it happened, as Jesus sat at a table in the house, that behold, many tax collectors and sinners came and sat down with him and his disciples. And when the Pharisees saw it, they said to his disciples, "Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners?" When Jesus heard that, he said to them, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. But go and learn what this means: I desire mercy and not sacrifice. For I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." Then the disciples of John came to him, saying, "Why do we and the Pharisees fast often, but your disciples do not fast?" And Jesus said to them, "Can the friends of the bridegroom mourn as long as the bridegroom is with them? But the days will come when the bridegroom will be taken away from them, and then they will fast. No one puts a piece of unshrunk cloth on an old garment, but the patch pulls away from the garment, and the tear is made worse. Nor do they put new wine into old wineskins, or else the wineskins break, and the wine is spilled. Amen. And the wineskins are ruined, but they put new wine into new wineskins, and both are preserved."
Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, brother. I would like to read the last few verses. "No man putteth a piece of new cloth unto an old garment, for that which is put in to fill it up taketh from the garment, and the rent is made worse." It was even worse than the previous state. "Neither do men put new wine into old bottles, else the bottles break, and the wine runneth out, and the bottles perish. But they put new wine into new bottles, but both are preserved." Amen? Can I say that we read the word preserved? The bottle covers the wine, correct? So what is the garment of the wine? It's the bottle. Am I right to say that? The bottle carries, holds, keeps the wine inside safely preserved. So let's add one more thing. Garment is clothing. Garment is covering. It's hiding what we don't want to show. It's also identifying who we are. What is the occasion of that particular garment that we wear. And last one, adapting. And now we just read one more thing, preserving. New wine must be inside the new bottle. Amen? New man must be inside the new garment. Amen? So, the old man must die. But you know what he will do? Before he die, he will throw his garment over you. Okay, I'm going to die. But you know what? You will carry my garment. But you are identified by your garment. So, we are going to get it proved by Adam, Hazel, Elizabeth and Penny. Children can answer this. You can answer this. It's very simple for adults. Of course, we will answer. Hope you can answer. So let's start from the first image. Okay. So now I will start with Adam. You can stand and tell me whom do you see in these images from right to left.
I I see a doctor.
Louder.
I see a doctor from the left.
Doctor?
Then the police officer.
Police officer.
And then Bob the Builder 2.0.
Builder? Very good. Then last?
Doctor also.
Doctor or nurse. Okay, good. Doctor, police officer, builder, and a nurse. Let's go to second one. Okay. Hazel, you can say, what do you see here?
I see a bus driver.
Bus driver.
A pilot.
A pilot.
And an astronaut.
Astronaut. Okay. Bus driver, pilot, and astronaut. Actually, you cannot differentiate the bus driver and pilot, but because of the background and the place where they are seated or standing, you identified them as two different drivers. Okay, good. Let's go to the third one.
Judge. Prisoner. Lawyer.
Good. So now, the garment, the children identified the characters. They don't know the faces. It's all animation characters. But even in the midst of all the image, I intentionally put a garment without any human being. But there was no nurse. There was no doctor. But still he said, it's a doctor. It's just a garment. There was no character in place. The prisoners, they are in different colors of clothing. But just because they are behind the bars, the children identified them as prisoners. Amen? You know, God would do the same thing. God would do the same thing. The way children sees, God would see the same way. Now, the judge and the lawyer, they look the same, very similar. But just because of what he is holding in his hand, makes him who is the judge. And it differentiates the two because of what they are holding in their hands. Now let's go to the next one. Now we move on to adults, where Joshua can answer. Just tell me the character that is covered in this picture. The person who is covered in the picture. Covering. So we are only meditating on covering. The garments identify the people of the profession, and you only name what is covered. What is covered? Who is covered in the first picture?
It's Jonah.
Jonah, good.
And
so you want? Having fun? Shadrach, praise the Lord. So one group is covered by fire, and one man is covered by fish. And that fish is also covered by water. Amen? So let's go to the next one. So now, here there are two things, I would say things. You just tell the name what is covered. Only that is covered. Not the person. What is covered here? Covering. Surrounded. The first one?
Lions.
Lions. That is the covering. But covering whom?
Covering...
Daniel, the next one?
Moses, the person.
Yes. But
by covering by... I mean, there's a burning bush there, yeah.
So the bush is covered. So Daniel is surrounded by lions. The bush is surrounded by fire. Next one. Now, let's go a bit deeper. The previous picture showed Moses is... sitting at the near the bush, burning bush. But now I want to ask a question. Anyone can answer. In the first picture, what is covered by the burning bush? What came out of the burning bush? Because something was inside the burning bush, then that something came out. So now, because of the change in the previous picture and this picture, what is coming out of the burning bush? Voice. Praise the Lord. So can we say the voice had a covering? Because when Moses saw the burning bush, he never imagined the voice can come out. The voice was inside. God appeared into motion. He spoke from the burning bush. I mean, from that fire, a voice came out. There is one more thing. Light. But that light was not from within. It is from the outside. The raiment of the burning bush. The light. Now, if I move on to the next one, when Moses assembled all the tribes of Israel, when they built the tent and the tabernacle, when the Lord descended the Shekinah glory, now I ask you a question. What covers what? The Ark of the Covenant covers what was inside the Ark of the Covenant, but now the Shekinah glory descended, for the people to see the Lord is with them. So now, something is around and something is at the center. So who covers who? Yes. Light covers them. Amen. One more. The people of God are seated surrounding and the Shekinah glory dwells in the midst of them. So, let's think from another perspective, the covering and what they are covering. The glory of the Lord is outside or in the center? In the center, in the midst. The Shekinah glory descended in the midst of God's children. Zechariah chapter 2 verse 5 says, the wall of fire surrounding them, but God, He dwelt in the midst of them. Midst of them means He is covered by who? The Lord glory, the Lord of Lords who says, I dwell in the midst of my children, then He is surrounded by who? The children. When Peter and John were arrested, the one who got healed, the lame, he was stood with them. But the three of them, they were surrounded by a multitude of people, like a circle, to accuse them, to try to do something to put them to death. Correct? They were surrounded by children of men. But in the middle, the prophets of God were standing firm. Now, let's go to the last one. Now, in this image, we have four different characters from ancient history. It's all assumption. No, it's not accurate. But what one single word that comes to your heart by looking at all of them, one single word. Priest, amen. Now, in that one single word, can anyone differentiate who is the Pharisee? Pharisees or Sadducees? The first one, yes. The first one, yes. Correct. The second one, yes. Correct. Who is the last one? Brother Lawrence, the last one. Yes, high priest, amen. The 12 stones on the breastplate single-handedly separate him to let all of us know he's the high priest. If I take it away from him, you would simply bundle him into priest, correct? The 12 stones on his breastplate, on his chest, it gave him the identity, identifying for all of us to say he is the high priest, amen? Now let's go one more level, last one. It's the last one, right? Yes. Now, if I tell you who is this person, the moment you see a character resting for a music, you know it's Saul, it's David. Okay. But the one who's seated on the throne, he's a king. He can be any king. We don't know the face. Can be any king. But if I tell you, okay, in this picture, brethren, there is one man covered in different clothing, but he's the same man, then you would say David, correct? Because now he is clothed with the servant of garment of servant or a soldier, whatever. And before he became a king, he had a different clothing. Because David's servant, David my servant. He was a soldier, he was a warrior. So when King Saul was there, David had a different garment. Amen? When the Lord appointed him, anointed him to be the king of Israel, he had to put on the clothing of king, correct? Because he need to sit on the throne. But when he was thrown out of the throne, he had no sandals. He was walking in barefoot in the brook of Kidron. We meditated. Amen? Is that all? That's all right. Please close it. I just wanted to show these pictures, you know. Just for us to understand, none of these people you have seen in your life. It's all assumed characters. Just animation, just drawings. The children were able to identify the profession of those people. They don't know their names. It's not a real person. But just because they have studied in the school how a doctor will look like, or they have seen in their life how a police officer will look like, because the parents will tell them, this police officer, don't mess with him, you'll be in jail. This doctor, don't lie to him, you'll be sick. This lawyer, don't lie to him. You know, we people, we are so truthful, so lawful to lawyers and doctors, and we are unlawful, untruthful to God Himself. That's what we do. That is our flesh. Children can identify those profession of those characters without blinking their eyes. And for us, it's, come on, so simple. What is there? Talk about some doctrine. This is doctrine. How the Lord identifies children. Why the Lord says, convert to be like children. The holiness of God, the righteousness of God is very similar to a child. If a child is hungry, she will cry. Princess Elizabeth, she will cry until she is fed. Nobody can stop her because she is a child. But when she grows, if she is hungry, she tries to hold her hunger because she is grown up, she is matured. But when she is a child, she won't settle for anyone. She needs the food because she is hungry, a child. She don't have to worry about studies, exams, homework, assignments, loans, whatever it is. She is like an angel, like a free bird. Sleep, eat, pray, play, whatever, repeat. Wonderful time of childhood. No responsibility, no commitments. Amen? But that child knows her mother. She can smell her mother, you know. You know, all mothers know. Children can smell the mother. And if you just change the bodies, by the warmth of the body, they can sense the environment is changing. Hey, this is not my mother's skin. Children can sense the warm feeling of the mother, the comfort. The environmental change can be sensed by a little child who is clothed, not with any dress. She is naked, he is naked, a child is naked, but beautifully clothed with a sensitive skin that tells her, where is my mother? She can't speak, she can't think, but she can sense. She don't need garments. She wants the mother to hug her closer to her. And she will just sleep in the, you know, in that warmth feeling. And the Lord has made us so wondrously, so beautifully. He made us. In womb, He made us. And He said, I carry you in my bosom. You are my child. But do we have the sensitivity in our heart to feel Him? To even understand that His presence is moving around us? Most of the time we put on some old man garment and the sweet river is flowing. You have a waterproof jacket on you and we stand. Where is the river? I don't feel anything. But the river is flowing. The sunlight is shining. We have a very huge dark black umbrella. We say, so much darkness. I wish there is sunlight. But we are holding an umbrella. The garment is so deep in scripture, which is used for identification. God identifies Himself with light. Amen? The robe, the trail of His robe, His raiment, His clothing is always compared to an unapproachable light. You can't see Him. His garment is, you know, so shiny. He who dwells in unapproachable light, He covers light. But scripture says He covered Himself with darkness. Correct? He clothed Himself, he allowed the darkness to surround Him. Peter and John were standing in the middle, children of men with full of wrath and anger. They covered them, they surrounded them, but the light was in the center. There was only one can see, the healed one, the lame who was healed. You see, the Lord says, I called you unto my marvelous light. And that light has a radius, my brethren. It has a limited radius. Only the lame who stood with Peter and John, he was inside that light. He was inside that marvelous light. The darkness around them, surrounding them, they could not see. They were gnashing their teeth, they were gnawing their tongue, they were thinking, how to kill them? Come on! Hello, testimony! Hey, lame! Say something against them. Just speak evil of them. Just speak evil of your church, evil of your children, evil of your brethren, evil, something. Just forsake them, just curse God and die. Like what the wife of Lot says, curse God and die. But that lame, he was holding them and stood. But you know what happened to him? He is that bush covered by the fire. He was not consumed, but no one can touch him. He became an God's part of the light, where the light could not consume him. He became part of it. And the Lord says, I will not yield my glory to anyone. You have only one choice, no two choices, one choice. Either you are part of His glory or you are not. The Lord is light, in Him there is no darkness. I will not give my glory to anyone. Both are same. Either I am the part of the light, I am not the true light, but I am the part of the light who shines through me, how John the Baptist spoke, or I am standing, sitting, walking, running, but I am around the marvelous light, not inside the marvelous light. There were courts in the chamber of God. Inner courts. North Court, South Court. They have different gates also. But the Lord says, in the Goshen, I draw you all closer, 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 that when the day of calamity comes, you are close by my light. What will happen if you close light? Imagine Moses, the shining face, when he came down from the mountain, people were scared of him because his face was shining. What he did? Oh, come on. He was finding a cloth and he was just hiding his face. Okay? For the people not to be scared of him. But he hides his face with a veil. But let's flip it around. What if the Lord decided, if I show my light, you will be scared. So I'm just letting you in darkness. I will hide your face. Moses hiding his face is different than Moses cast darkness into the people who are scared of him. Correct? Lot was drawn closer into the house. The angel shut the door. Darkness was cast on all those around the house, not inside the house. Remember carefully, if the wife and the two daughters telling Lot, Father, you're so tired. Mother prepared some good food. You just go and eat inside. We have found some good weapons. We will go outdoor and we'll fight with them. Don't worry. Three women can beat the entire world. You go inside. If they are fighting, they may fight. They may win. They may kill the enemies. But when the two angels cast darkness, the curse was very clear. Outside the house, everybody will become blinded. Nobody can see the door. The battle of righteousness is fought by the righteous judge. So we be part of his light. And the Lord says, if I am clothed myself in such way, just come in me. I in you, you in me. Let me cover you. We are all sealed by the Holy Ghost unto the day of redemption. Praise the Lord. But that sealing, don't you see, is a covering? Don't you see it is the covering? And the Lord did not simply say covering. He used the word, a powerful word, sealing. What is the meaning of sealing? Sealed. Which means the one who sealed is the only one who can open it. When the Lord says, I shut this door, we all can go and drag. None of us can open it. I, the one who shut the door, no man can open it. I open the door, no man can shut. If the Lord says, I, the one who seal you with my spirit unto the day of redemption, with no man can break the seal but you. But you, but me. We can break it. Why? The seal has an inherent quality, which is he will spit out. The moment there is disobedience, he will spit out. Then we need to ask the Lord, Lord, repentance, my key. Can you open the seal? I want to go inside again. I want to go into the fish again. I want to go into the fire again. I want to be surrounded by the lions again. Cover me, Lord. Cover me. Covering. The Lord can spit us out. Not he want to spit us out. It is who he is. Light ripples darkness. Amen? So, the Lord says, this is the tossed and fro. You will be forced through fire. Because I am going out from fire, I have to also go in through fire. I am keep on burning my flesh. I need to go and throw it out and come inside. Cast the filthiness out of the tabernacle. Amen? So now the Lord has clearly told us, if the city is a man, the wall is a garment. Correct? The wall covers the city. Whatever that covers the precious thing of the Lord, it is a covering. The ceiling, if the wall is a ceiling, the gates are the lock. No one can open the gate. Amen? Only those who lock the gate. But the locks, the man can put, man can break. But what if the Lord locks the gate? What if the Lord seals you? Only he can open. That is the meaning of what the Lord says. No one can snatch my children away from my mighty hand. No one. Because his mighty hand, my brethren, is the covering that we are all inside. That is the easiest way for us to see. If this is me, I am here. Can you see me? You can't see me. But I in you, you in me, when we are all in him, we can see each other in Christ. So, garment, new garment, old garment, it's where we just traveled, which is, there is a new man with a new garment. But there is also the old man who must die. He can also have his influence on you. You can stitch goodness of the Lord with goodness of you. But the Lord can see clearly on your back to the top left, there is a 5 centimeter old stick garment still seen. So, Lord, I will just take it out. Wash me, Lord, thoroughly. He will scratch and wash us in the word of God. Let's go to the scripture, Revelation. Book of Revelation, Brother Clement, please read this for us from chapter 3, verse 1. We read from verse 1 all the way to verse 22, my brother.
And to the angels of the church in Sardis say, write, these things says he who has the 7 spirits of God and the 7 stars. I know your works, that you have a name, that you are alive, but you are dead. Be watchful, and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die, for I have not found your works perfect before God. Remember therefore how you have received and heard. Hold fast and repent. Therefore, if you will not watch, I will come upon you as a thief, and you will not know what hour I will come upon you. You have a few names, even as others, who have not defiled their garments, and they have walked with me in white, for they are worthy. He who overcomes shall be clothed in white garments, and I will not blot out his name from the book of life. But I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, These things says he who is holy, he who is true, he who has the key of David, he who opens and no one shuts, and shuts and no one opens. I know your works. See, I have set before you an open door, and no one can shut it. For you have little strength, have kept my word, and have not denied my name. Indeed, I'll make those of the synagogue of Satan who say they are Jews and are not, but lie. Indeed, I'll make them come and worship before your feet, and to know that I have loved you, because you have kept my command preserved. I also will keep you from the hour of trial,
amen,
which shall come upon the whole world, to test those who dwell on the earth. Behold, I am coming quickly. Hold fast what you have,
amen,
that no one may take the crown. He who overcomes, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God,
amen,
and he shall go out no more. I will write on him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the New Jerusalem, which comes down out of heaven from my God. And I will write on him my new name. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches.
Amen.
And to the angel of the church of Laodiceans write, these things say the Amen, the faithful and the true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I could wish you were cold or hot. So then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth, because you say, I am rich, have become wealthy, and have need of nothing, and do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire, that you may be rich, and white garments, that you may be clothed, that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed, and not your eyes with eye salve, that you may see.
Amen.
As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Therefore be zealous and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him, and he with me. To him who overcomes, I will grant to him to sit with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne.
Amen.
He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches.
Amen. Amen. So So this is the last three church ages. Although we are in seventh church age, remember whatever that was spoken concerning all the church ages are applicable to you, to me, to all of us, all the time. On top of what we have to learn from seventh church age, what the Lord has said. Because He knows the time, He knows the season, so He's giving us warning. But in that warning, in the church of Sardis and church of Laodicea, let's look at chapter 3, verse 4. Let's look at this very deeply as we reflect our life. Thou hast a few names even in Sardis which have not defiled their garments. Why the Lord came all of a sudden saying that they have not defiled their garments? Very few. He used the word few. Amen? Not many. He used the word few, not many. Now, and they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. Defile not the garment, walk with me in white, for they are worthy. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain for the sin and iniquity of all of us. And He says, I can say who is worthy. And He says, defile not the temple of God. Remember, the scripture says, the one who defiled the tabernacle of God, the temple of God, the Lord will destroy him. He was so furious. He gave no space in that aspect. Why? Jesus drove them away who were standing, selling outside the temple. He drove them away. But He said, if someone defiled my tabernacle, He said, I will not draw you away, I will destroy you. The Creator has another side to Him. He is also a destroyer. When Jesus said, I came to divide, He wants to divide the weeds and tares, good and evil, His children and the wicked of the world. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. But the Lord says, defile not the garment that I clothed you, and you endure when you show me that you can do it in my word with my comforter, then I will tell you, you walk with me in white, white apparel, a symbol of peace, symbol of light, symbol of purity. And He says, they that walk with Him in white are called worthy. What we say, Lord, bless us, Lord, to live a life worthy of Thy calling. And the Lord says, yes, my calling has a garment, different garments. I cannot have the same garment all the time. Do you know? There are times that you have to be strong when the enemy is trying to torment you. You be very bold and utter the name of the Lord, rebuke it, and you will be the warrior of Christ. But there are times the Lord will simply throw you as a lamb, where you just have to go humbly endure all that you have to go through. You can't take the stand of Lion of Judah all the time, because He is the Lion of Judah. He is the Lamb. And He is teaching us, feet shod with the preparation of gospel of peace. But also He tells us, I give you the power to tread over serpents. He always speak like a lion, speak like a lamb. Because our life is in His hands. When Stephen is thrown to the wolves, Stephen can pray. I pray for the fire to come and devour them. Prophets prayed in the Old Testament. But the fulfillment of God was not the burning of the flesh. The fulfillment of the God to show the world the burning of the whole holy fire. The holy fire, the wildfire of Holy Ghost. And for Stephen to show the world that he can do it by the power of God. So the God whom we serve, He is all about the fulfillment, and He clothed you with the garment of the Spirit which changes color according to situation. When I say color, He knows which fruit you must embrace. I can't go and tell the Lord, Lord, thank you for the fruit of long-suffering. My whole life is a long-suffering. My whole life is weary. My whole life is isolation. Praise the Lord. I will just die in long-suffering. Thank you, Lord, for the fruit. My brethren, there is a fruit, joy. There is a fruit, peace. There is a fruit, meekness, faithfulness. The fruit of the Spirit is not limited to you. It is for the Lord to decide. Today you are a vine. Tomorrow you are a bitter gourd. Tomorrow you are a water. He knows what to do. But for us, defile not the garment, for you are called to be the white man, new man. And the white raiment, God is the one who clothes us. And He gave us a name to those who do this as worthy. looks deeper or simple. It is simple. You know why? If I change the faces of those characters, doctor, builder, nurse, advocate, judge, if I just change the faces, Adam and Hazel would still stick the same name. Doctor, builder, lawyer, advocate. But I change the face. I'm not a doctor. Let's say Brother Joshua is a doctor with a telescope. I'm a builder with some engineering tools. Both of us, we go outside the church, change our clothing and come back inside. Adam would say, builder, doctor. Likewise, if we all change the garment, you know what's happening? The garment will define your name. The garment will make you to be identified in the sight of God who you are. That much power the garment has. Because the skill, whatever I can say, you know, I'm a well-qualified driver. I'm a fantastic pilot. The Lord say, no, today for you, bus driver. God, Boeing plane in the midst of the clouds, seeing the sunlight. Today you are a bus driver. The Lord decides how the children will look like, how the children will live like. And that garment, it overhauls you. That is the right word to say. It overhauls you. It tells your old man, shh, the new man is here. The Lord can mold you and transform you and rebuild you, restore you, not to be your old self, to be something new. It's called regeneration. We don't have to ask the Lord, Lord, restore my old strength. Don't say that. Lord, restore me to the place where I will see the new strength. Because He is new. His mercy is fresh every morning. It's fresh every morning. So, as I close, let's read next verse. He that overcometh, verse 5, the same shall be clothed in white raiment. So, the Lord says it is applicable for all. Okay? It's a pattern. Blueprint. He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed. It's like if you all learn how to test the heart rate, how to use the stethoscope, I can give you all the clothing of doctor. Take it. But you should know how to measure the heartbeat. That's all. He who do my commandments will be clothed with a white raiment. So, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. What we say? Lord, I know out of the mouth confession is made. I know. But Lord, you know what? Hannah prayed with murmuring. You heard her, right? I will also do the same. You are not Hannah. I am not Hannah. She was praying for her birth, the birth of a child. But the Lord says, I will confess to my Father to vouch for you. The high priest, the advocate you saw, right? The advocate who was pleading for those two prisoners in two different garments, but just because they were behind the bars, the two children, they identify them as prisoners. We can't bargain with them. They are right. Even if I put the advocate behind the bar with the same clothing, you know what they would say? Advocate as a prisoner. Correct? The bar overcomes the state. Now, who is your advocate? Who is your advocate? He is the advocate. Okay. Whom he is pleading to? The judge. Who is the judge? He is the judge. Okay. I am very broken. I need someone to pray for me. Who is the high priest interceding? He is the high priest interceding. To whom he is praying to? The Almighty. Who is the Almighty? He is the Almighty. Okay. So, high priest garment, advocate garment, king garment, garment of judge, and the names of God, what we read today, the name of God, and the garment of the Lord, what we learn from the scripture, it tells us something that He expects us to be like Him in our life. Now, He says, I will confess to my Father, and I will not blot out His name out of the book of life. Now I ask you, when you see the word, I will not blot out His name, whose name comes to your heart? The very same verse. I will not blot out His name from the book of life. There is one who pleaded, blot my name out. Moses. He stood before God. Lord, the same verse he said, but he was actually bringing the wrath upon him. He said, blot my name out of the book, but don't destroy them. And the Lord says, set aside, move. You are not the judge. I will decide. He still plagued them. Moses' request was not fully accepted. The Lord still plagued them because he is righteous. But Moses offered his willingness to be destroyed for the sake of the children of God. Now you take it to the seventh church age, verse 17. Same chapter. Because thou sayest, I am rich, and increased with goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched, miserable, and poor, and blind, and naked. How many words you read? I believe it's seven. Read from here. Wretched, miserable, poor, blind, naked, and need of nothing, and rich. Correct? In the first part of the word. Because when we are so rich, we don't need anything. When we don't need anything, we lack hunger and thirst. And verse 18 says, I counsel thee. Who is your wonderful counselor, my brethren? Who is your counselor? Our very own mind or the wonderful counselor? But he says, my counsel stands sure in the wise counselors of my vessels. Now there are two or more gathered in my name, I dwell in the midst of them. That is why the scripture says, iron sharpens iron. The counsel of godly children, the Lord establishes wisdom in the midst of them. If not, in our own understanding, we can deceive ourselves. Decision is a fruit of wisdom. Amen. The Lord says, I counsel thee. You know what? I will give you some advice, some tricks, some insights. Okay? What you should do, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire. Lord, it's not a counsel. It's very scary. Why are you burning us with fire? To bring out the gold. For the gold to shine. For the gold to be put into like a decoration. Now, gold in the fire that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment that thou mayest be clothed, that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. And anoint thine eyes with eyesal, and that thou mayest see. So he says, shame of thy nakedness do not appear. That is the perspective of the counselor. He says, be clothed so that your shame of your nakedness, not this physical body, that's a representation of what we go through in our spirit, in our life, so that you won't appear. He hide it. He hide that my soul in the cleft of the rock. Then what is the covering of the soul? The rock. How can a rock can cover the soul? It can. Now, let's read the last few verses. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. It should be, as many as I love, I always forgive them, I always kiss them, I always show my grace to them, I always show my mercy to them, I always let them do whatever they want. That is not the God we serve. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Why? He can only do this to his children. He would never do this to the children of men. Because he won't take the right. Because he is righteous. If the Lord deals with you, rejoice. Lord, thank you. Even in my punishment, I see you are touching me. I see you are watching over me. I'm happy. Punishment of the Father is far better than being separated from the Father. Amen? The Father in heaven. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. The church age 5, church age 6, church age 7, 1, 2, 3, 4, all the ones that are saying, repent. 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 Because that is the way we can keep our garment. The last part of the last season, we finished with repent, repent, repent. That is the reason, by God's grace, I was moved to focus on garment. We will read one verse as we close the service today. Genesis chapter 3, we close. Genesis chapter 3. Verse 21. Unto Adam also, unto his wife, did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothe them. This is the very first verse where we read God himself clothed his children. By what? Coats of skins. Not by leaves. Not by woods. Skin. Now the question is, from where God got those skins? From where God got those skins? We start the sermon from skin, and we end the sermon with coats of skins, what the Lord clothed Adam and Eve, and why He clothed them, and why He did not accept their clothing. It is exactly what we are reading in the book of Revelation, chapter 3. May the Lord bless us. Today, it serves as an introduction of the sermon series. We have not gone into the details, but it's an introduction of where the garment stands in the scripture. Clothing, covering, hiding, identifying, adapting, preserving in general. But if you go a bit deeper, my brethren, the land of Goshen was covered by His name, but the people of God were covered by His blood. They were inside the doorpost. Amen? And that Passover, that Pesach would never yield any life if the blood was not slain, blood was not shed on the doorpost. And Calvary, what the Lord did to all of us in the present established truth, opened the doors for us to enter the house, for the blood of Christ applied to all our hearts, our doorpost. And He standeth at the doorpost as a judge every day. May the Lord bless us to stay inside the doorpost. And the blood of the Lamb is why we are all shielded, washed, covered thoroughly. But the Spirit of God is why we are all sealed. And that seal, my brethren, it is our covenant with Him. The Lord says, I will never break my covenant. But you can break. We can break. We can break the covenant. May the Lord bless us. Michal was able to cover her husband from Saul, who could have killed him. But she deceived her father by clothing, by covering something which looked like David, but not David. David escaped from window. We all escaped. The Lord blessed all of us to escape. He took our position and He took the garment of all our filthiness, our iniquities. That's why the book of Isaiah says, all our iniquities laid upon Him. May the Lord bless us. We are the ones who clothed Him with filthiness and iniquity so that He can be killed for us. And it is our turn for us to be clothed by Him, by what He is giving to all of us. Amen. Shalom, brethren. Let's all stand as I pray and close. Our Lord, our God, blessed be Your holy name, Lord. We learn from the church of Sardis that there were few who defiled not their garments, and You gave them the new garments, and they walked with You in white, and You called them worthy, Lord. It sets us an example, the testimony of Jesus Christ. And Lord, we learn from all our forefathers, all Your apostles, all Your prophets, all Your children, even the mistakes of Your children speaks life to all of us. But Lord, here we are, O Lord, the seventh church age, facing all of the fulfillment of the wickedness of the world, the judgment of God upon all of us, all the nations, all the chief captains. Lord, we pray. Yes, as You said, O Lord, we are rich, and sometimes, O Lord, we do not want anything. There is no thirst or hunger. For that reason, O Lord, it makes us to be wretched. We are broken sometimes. But Lord, we pray, may You bless us not to be naked. May You, Lord, teach us how to be clothed in Your word, clothed by Your Spirit, clothed by the promise that You have given to all of us, that white raiment, O Lord, the change of clothing. Every single piece of cloth that comes from the old man who died, Lazarus cannot carry the cloth that covered him, O Lord. When Jesus said, Lazarus, come out, O Lord, the old clothing must be removed for him to be receiving the new clothing, O Lord. Thank You, Lord, that You called all of us to be the new creation, new man, new woman, by the new covenant, the new wine. Lord, we pray, if You see any patches of our old garment, forgive us, Lord. Forgive our trespasses, Lord. We surrender, O Father in heaven. We repent for our shortcomings. We repent for our disobedience. We repent for our sins and trespasses. Lord, forgive us, Lord. Wash us thoroughly that we may be clothed in the beautiful garment that You look at us and You can give us a name, the new name. Blessed be Your holy name. We surrender all things to Thy mighty hands. In Jesus' name we all prayed. Amen and amen. God bless you all, brethren.